I think honestly, performance management is super top of mind for a lot of CROs and VPs of sales right now, because coming out of the last 5 years where there's been a pretty marked decline in the level of performance hustle in sales organizations for a lot of reasons.
Welcome to the OpStars podcast, where we talk to revenue operations pros at the top of their game so that we can collectively support each other through the sharing of ideas, learning best practices, and discovering innovative new strategies. I'm your host, Don Offos.
Thanks for joining another episode of the OpStars podcast. Today, I have on with me Pete Kazanji. Pete is the founder of Atrium. He is the founder of Modern Sales Pros. He is the founder of a company called TalentBin that was acquired by Monster way back when. And we had a great story.
Good memory, Don.
Yeah. I remember history. It was very meaningful to me. I met Pete back in 2015. I got featured in an article put on by First Round Blog. If you haven't seen it, First Round Blog, it's a great blog. First Round, they're a VC firm that just does seed and A rounds. So it's very entrepreneurial focus. They were like, hey, we're trying to figure out how to solve RevOps. And somebody told them, like, you should go talk to Don. He did RevOps at this company called Yammer that got bought by Microsoft for $1.2 billion. So I got this whole long article done. And then they were like, you know, you should probably meet this guy that we work with, Pete Kazanji. He's trying to solve RevOps for entrepreneurs. And that was the genesis of Modern Sales Pros. You want to share your part of that story? Because, I mean, it was really you that kicked it off.
Thanks for having me, Don. And I'm glad to geek out on revenue operations things with you. Yeah, I mean, I think the net of this is that, you know, my journey as relates to modern sales starts from a little bit of a different background than a lot of folks. So my last software company, TalentBin, was a recruiting software company. And that's really where I went from being a business generalist founder to being a first seller, a first sales manager. And like prior to TalentBin, I was a product marketer and a product manager. And I'm a fairly left-brained guy, pretty at home with systems thinking. And kind of what I realized when I was managing the sales organization at TalentBin, I was just like, man, this is just like a factory, right? Like one of my favorite business books is called The Goal by Eli Goldratt. It's a Toyota Lean Manufacturing book. And I was like, wow, this is interesting. Sales organizations and sales is just like a revenue factory, but instead of it being machines that are doing the steps of the process, it's people. But that doesn't mean you can't measure them, right? And then moreover, if you can measure the steps in the process and the quantity and quality of selling behavior that is being done by the SDR, the AE, the CSM, et cetera, you can find constraints in the system. You can make it go better. You can find where there are issues and kind of tackle those issues. And so we did that quite a bit at TalentBin. And this is like 2011 or so. And then we got acquired by Monster. And I was really shocked when, you know, the 600 person sales organization that didn't really have much of a view into the quantity and quality of selling behavior that was happening. And then moreover, the frontline managers just like were really at a loss as to that as well, right? Because the data team, the sales operations team was providing them like walls and walls and walls of Tableau dashboards, which of course they were like, this is not what I want or what I need. And moreover, I really can't interpret these like 32 grids of tiny windows. Honestly, man, I just want to know how many customer facing meetings my 10 reps had last week and this week, right? And like what everybody's win rate is and like where the issues are. And that was kind of the problem that we set out to solve with Atrium, you know, around 7 years ago. So the research associated with that, so I left Monster in 2015 and then started to do research on how organizations did that at the time. We did about 150 customer interviews with folks like yourself or like Doug Landis. At the time I met Doug Landis, he had just finished the Tableau implementation through the lens of sales effectiveness at Box, bunch of other folks, and like kept hearing this uniform problem of like, yeah, man, like our frontline managers, our second line managers really struggle to make sense of performance data here and then know what to do about it. We've tried to solve it, but we haven't really solved it. And that's what we've been working on in Atrium.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. So like 2015, like that first meeting of Modern Sales Pros that I remember, you had it the First Round office and we had the square tables were set up in a square. You had catered dinner. So we all ate dinner. We all faced each other. And it's really how Modern Sales Pros salons have gone since then is you just presented two or three problems to the table like, what are you running into as a RevOps professional where you need help? And the whole idea behind it was that other RevOps people want to help other RevOps people not make the same mistakes they made. I think as a group, we're always trying to make each other better. And that was the whole goal of Modern Sales Pros when it first kicked off. It's why I love it as a community so much. And you've grown that community now to thousands of people, I want to say.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, so, you know, pre-pandemic was largely these salons, right, which is round table discussions, usually around like 6 to 8 people at a table. And then we would just scale that up. So if we had like 150 people at an event, right, you would have 20 tables of people discussing a prompt, what have you. The pandemic virtualized that a little bit as well. We have an online Google group, but really it comes down to peer education, right? And so that was like the thinking was like, hey, you could do this. And obviously it helps Atrium as well, because one of the problems that revenue operations people work on is how can I enable and empower my managers to manage more effectively by metric? Because they ask me for a dashboard, I give it to them, and then they don't refresh it ever and they don't consume it ever. And I don't have time to do the interpretation for them. But actually, if I do the interpretation and then bullet out kind of like the issues I see, they just argue with me about the issues that I find anyway. So there's got to be a better way to solve this problem. Like, that's obviously like, that's not all the categories of things that revenue operations people work on, but it's definitely one of them. That's for sure. Right. The other ones is like compensation quibbles or territory management, lead routing quibbles. You've never heard of that one before, have you, Don?
Nah, lead routing quibbles.
Never.
Who was for them? Why? Who argues about that?
Yeah, exactly. Nobody ever complains about that. But yeah, the idea was that you create a venue where people can talk about this. Obviously, it's beneficial to Atrium to host that conversation because we're front of mind as relates to that manager enablement, data-driven management, helping manager effectiveness and performance management case. But there's obviously tons of other conversations as well that are important to RevOps people.
Oh, yeah. The one thing that I remember that I used, that I think I probably still use to some extent, do you remember the Google Doc you did, the sales planning doc, where it's like, do you want to go top up or do you want to go bottom down? And you pick your direction, which way you're going. Either you want to hit this goal, how many people do I need? Or I have this many people, what should my goal be? That was such a great resource. And yeah, you put out a bunch of material like that for the community.
Content marketing, you know, Mark Roberge and the HubSpot clan, they're big fans.
But at the time, I mean, I don't even think Atrium was around. I mean, I think this was still, you were kind of the research stage and you were pushing stuff out of like, hey, I've talked to a ton of you and here's what I've learned. You're all trying to figure out how to plan for stuff. Here's how to do it. Boom. And then, you know, put your engineer hat on and you build out this awesome Google Doc with formulas and everything. All you had to do as a RevOps person is plug in all your numbers and then you're off to the races. Here's how many people you need to hire. Here's what your numbers need to be. Here are how many calls you should be making. Like all that stuff, which is kind of like RevOps 101 that a lot of people had never really seen before. It was a great resource for people. You also authored a book called Founding Sales. And that spun off from your experience at both Modern Sales Pros. Is that part of why you did that?
Well, Founding Sales was a little bit earlier, actually. So one of the things that I observed, so when I started being our first seller at TalentBin and then managing sales at TalentBin, I didn't have a background in sales, right? I was just like a product manager, product marketer. And so I had a bunch of the same like stupid ass biases that a lot of founders have, like, oh, you sales, right? Largely because like, they just don't know how it works, right? Like I do this presentation on founder-led sales, but I was lucky enough that First Round Capital had this founder community. And so I was able to like learn sales at the elbow of a bunch of other like entrepreneurs who had experience. So like Sean Black, who is the previous head of inside sales at Trulia, was a founder at First Round Capital of a really sick sales presentation software company called Sales Crunch. They're a heads up competitor to ClearSlide. The funny thing about both of them is they're both gone. They've essentially been unbundled into Zoom. And then like HighSpot Seismic, right? So like content management abstracted from presentation. But anyway, so Sean was the founder of Sales Crunch. And then Angus Davis was the founder of Swipely. He's now a partner at Foundation. But essentially like there was no book on sales for founders or sales for non-salespeople. There's a lot of like books on selling, like different sales methodologies. Like, oh, you should read the Challenger sale, right? It's a different way of selling. Or you should read Spin Selling. It's a different way of selling. Or you should read Mark Roberge's sales acceleration formula to scale up your sales organization. But there's nothing like, you don't know squat, buddy. Let's get you the primer. Kind of like the Four Dummies book. That's why I like Founding Sales. I actually have one of them right here. So like by Sales for Dummies, what we mean is entrepreneur founders, which is important. Like I was actually joking with this yesterday with a sales leader, because like usually what will happen is like a bunch of venture funds will just like keep these in their office and they'll like give them to people. And then someone was saying like, oh, well, we do a lot of growth investing. And so like usually they already have 20 sellers or 50 sellers or whatever. I'm like, yeah. So usually in those scenarios, what happens is the sales leader will give the copy of the book to the CEO who still doesn't understand how sales works. And it's like, yeah, let's just double quotas without actually adding any sales reps. And it's like, ah, that doesn't work. Maybe you should read this. Just put it under your bed or like put it under your pillow and it'll absorb into your brain. Anyway, yeah, that's where Founding Sales came from, was that experience of going from being a generalist founder to like, okay, I'll just read the book on this. Oh crap, there's not a book. There's just predictable revenue. Okay, well, I'm really good at pipe gen now because I just copied predictable revenue. But what about after the first meeting? What happens then?
I've got a bunch of opportunities. Now what do I do with them?
They just close themselves.
And now you're at Atrium, and having used it, I think it's an amazing platform because it gives a sort of inspection to opportunities and activities.
More rep level, right?
Yeah, rep level. What the reps are doing with those opportunities. Because I think in a lot of ways, if you're relying on reps to log activities, you're not going to get a very clear picture of what's going on. If you're relying on reps to log their meetings, you're probably not going to get a good picture of what's going on. And Atrium kind of solves for that because you're really watching from the server level of like, what's on the calendar? What emails are going out? How frequently are they going out? What's the ratio of send to receive? You know, how many people are involved in an opportunity? And then you give it a health rating to be able to say one way or another if a deal's going to close or not.
The way I would say this is I was doing a presentation earlier to my staff. Because in the last like 12 to 18 months, we've really shifted our ideal customer profile. We've been working with much larger sales organizations. So organizations with 50, 100, 200 sales reps. So 10, 20, 40 sales managers, where what you really need to do is you want to make sure that your managers are managing it in a consistent fashion, right? That they're managing performance, right? They're not managing by deal, just the default. That they're measuring and goaling on the quantity and quality of selling behavior. And the reality is in those organizations, revenue operations people, they come from the math department.
Usually, sometimes.
Well, for the most part, right? And maybe they have a finance background, or they have a STEM background, or they have a consulting background or whatever, or they happen to have been a seller or like an SDR who had a particular systems thinking or like analytical bent that drove them in that direction. That's what I mean when they come from the math department, right? They're cozy with systems thinking. They're cozy with, as we kind of say, like interpretations, like making meaning out of numbers.
Finding patterns.
Yeah, exactly. So synthesis, interpretation, whatever like multi-syllable $5 word you want to use for it. It's like, it's making sense of data to make a judgment about what's going on and then making a recommendation about that to themselves. Like, oh, as a result of this, I should do this, right? And so sales managers oftentimes are not as good at that because they come from a different skill profile. Like they're extremely good communicators, amazing empaths, amazing at like reading the room or reading multiple people, understanding the interactions of multiple people. Right? Who hates who likes who, right? Who's got what incentive? What are they saying? What are they actually saying? They're saying this thing, but like, what is their face saying while they say that thing? Like high bias to action. These are all things that sellers, and as a result, sales managers and sales leaders are oftentimes really good at, and they're, you know, maybe less good at what we like to call dashboard diving, right? And so if instead what you could do, and of course, with the advent of large language model AI in the last like 12 months or so, if you could turn this information, right, this metrical information into narrative, right, into a story, and then provide a recommendation, that could be very powerful. So like, I'll give you a kind of very basic example. Like the legacy way of trying to do this would be, hey, Don, here's this grid of dashboard tiles that includes total ops owned right now by these 10 mid-market reps. So total ops owned, a number of untouched ops, number of stuck ops, win rate, conversion rate by stage, blah, 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 blah. Don, here's a Red Bull. Go figure out what's going on, right? And of course, like, that's very difficult for most normal human beings. It'd be fine for Don with two Red Bulls. But with like most normal human beings, that would probably be pretty difficult. If you have a more junior manager who hasn't been around the block, it'd be very difficult for them to do that. And then moreover, it's just like laborious as all get out. Obviously, you could try to ask a sales operations leader to assign sales operations resources to do that analysis and recommendation for that manager. But then you run into the problem that we were talking about earlier, like A, that's very expensive. And then B, it's like, hey, I think I see these problems with your rep. And it's like, get out of here, nerd. You've never carried a bag. And so like, that's kind of like what Atrium solves is the problem of providing to the manager, right? The frontline SDR manager, AE manager, what have you, these managerial insights so they can then act on and recommendations. Hey, you should probably think about doing XYZ. And then also allows them to take that managerial action. Like, hey, let's email Bobby and set up time for us to clean his pipe. We call it sales coach, Atrium's AI assistant.
It's very prescriptive.
Yeah, it would also like write that email for the manager. And when we think about like what management involves, it's like management is encouragement, coaching, and accountability. So if someone's kicking ass, right? Like, let's say we had a coaching conversation with Bobby about his untouched op situation, and we spent time together, we cleaned his pipe, and we put time on his calendar for him to do pipeline management. And lo and behold, 2 weeks later, his untouched opportunity situation has remediated very substantially. We need to send him a high five email, and we need to take a screenshot of that, and then we need to throw it in Slack and say, great job, Bobby, right? Like, that's management. And then similarly, if it hasn't happened, right, we need to have accountability. And that means, hey, Bobby, we talked about this 2 weeks ago, and your untouched op situation is still in the pits. And I'd like to say I'm happy about it, but I'd be lying, right? That's management, right? And that's what we need to do as frontline sales managers. As frontline sales managers, we need to be able to do exactly that loop that we're talking about, like understand what's going on and then take action. As Steve Goldberg from SalesLoft would say, we are not here to admire a problem, right? We are here to fix problems. So that's what frontline managers need to do. And then what leaders need to do is they need to make sure that their managers are actually managing.
Yeah, I was going to say, has there been a thing, a step up in Atrium to be able to say, okay, I'm a leader. How are my managers doing?
Totally. We get that from our leaders all the time because I was hosting a CRO dinner in New York the other day. And I mean, I think honestly, performance management is super top of mind for a lot of CROs and VPs of sales right now, because coming out of the last 5 years where there's been a pretty marked decline in the level of performance hustle in sales organizations for a lot of reasons, right? Like part of it was win rates were super inflated because there was tons of inbound, because there was tons of people, like lots of budget, et cetera, et cetera. Also tons of money flowing around the industry. So managers were like, well, if I hold my rep accountable to his prospecting goals or like tell him to clean up his pipe, like, I don't know, he's got like five recruiters in his inbox telling him to come work at, you know, some company that just raised $200 million. And like, I don't want to lose that quota capacity. So like, maybe I'll just not manage them. All this stuff is like really super unhealthy. And so the last 5 years, like the industry has really taken a tumble when it comes to level of execution and kind of like performance management. And also the same on the managerial side as well. People who have become managers in the last 5 years, they don't know what it's like to actually be a manager. Like, hey, your job is actually to sample work, right? Like you're supposed to be CC'd on emails. And then when a rep sends like a really crappy email, now you don't reply all, but you forward it to the rep and say, hey, here's some coaching on this email, how you could format it better. That's your job as a manager, is to sample that and coach and correct and also celebrate and also hold accountable. And if you became a manager in the last 5 years, you really didn't have that exhibited to you, right? And then maybe if you became a manager, you know, 10 years ago or 15 years ago or whatever, you're probably out of the practice because maybe in the last 5 to 10 years, like the only managerial like football action you could do was like be a cheerleader, right? So like your accountability muscle is atrophied, right? And now things have changed.
Okay. And so part of it is the fact that you're worried about losing employees. What impact do you think working remote and not having everyone in the same room had?
I think like working remote for junior staff is like just awful. And the reason why is because you lose all of that exemplary behavior. So I was talking with this CRO at this dinner the other day, and she came up as a seller at EMC, right? EMC. EMC is like famous for like pipe hitting sales organization.
A huge organization.
Huge, but also like rigorous, right? Like we are not here to mess around. Dress code in the office. Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, on Fridays, you can maybe wear jeans, but they better be really dark and they better be pressed, right? And yeah, your dress shirt needs to be tucked into them. And she was talking about this. She's like, yeah, like you learned exactly what was required as a seller because you came in, you sat down at your office and you were in a bullpen of like 50 other sellers or SDRs or whatever. And like maybe there's a new class of like 5 or 10 or whatever, but there's also a more tenured class. And so you saw, and you're like, okay, cool. People are calling a lot. They're talking a lot. Wow, actually people aren't like fiddling around. Wow, nobody has their head in their phone, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, also, who are these people that are walking from desk to desk? Oh, those are sales managers. They're walking around, they're talking with people, they're giving people high fives. Oh, that guy over there was kind of like checked out and kind of like spacing out and goofing off on Slack. And the sales manager came over and talked with him. Ah, that's what a manager is supposed to do. They're supposed to hold people accountable, right? Like seeing these behaviors, even if it isn't a directed behavior, but instead you're observing the behavior from the side, educates on what high performance looks like and what performance management looks like. And so when that ephemeralizes and disappears, so first of all, I just think it doesn't happen because I think the reality is that people tell themselves like these behaviors happen over Slack or Teams or whatever. But if you actually think about the friction associated with like interacting with people via Teams or Slack, you know, it's more substantial than you would think. What are you talking about? You just have to like command tab over to it and then command K in order to find the person and then search for their name and then hit enter and then see whether or not they're on a meeting right now to see if you can like Slack them or not, just call them. That's all friction versus just like looking over and being like, Don, yo, Don, right?
Or they're in a meeting room on a call.
Yeah. So yes, I think that that has like very negatively impacted the growth of a generation. It's not a whole generation. It's like a slice of folks who have kind of come online in the last like 5 to 6 years in a very negative way that we owe it to our staff to help them understand what good actually looks like. And this is something that I like tell my staff. I tell my leaders. I speak on this a lot as well is there's a whole industry that's lined up around telling people pleasing lies versus unpleasant truths, whether that's like the TikTok algorithm or the LinkedIn algorithm or whatever. And like, I'll tell you what, working while traveling from your 12-inch MacBook Air screen is not working as compared to at a workstation with a fancy pants seller headset and an external monitor and a keyboard and so on and so forth. Those are very different situations, right? And you might be able to get away with the first one hiding at some big co who's like some monopolist in their space and has already established, but you're not helping your career. Don't get it twisted. You are not actually building high performance muscles. You're like planktoning alongside this giant whale of an organization. And then I think the question is like, if you're into that and like, that's what you want to do, God bless. But my point of view on this is like, we all only have like 75 years on earth. And so my point of view on that is like, if you want to do these things, like do great work and be high performance.
So what would your recommendation be for someone that is in a remote or hybrid role that does want to be proactive and be better?
Yeah. I mean, I think what you should do is just break it down. Sales, just like any knowledge worker behavior, is a summation of a high quantity of high quality behaviors, right? High quality work. Just the same as an assembly line or chopping wood.
Slicing onions.
Yeah, just like, you know, just break it down to the constituent pieces, right? And so this is something that we talk about a lot with our customers is you can measure these. And so Jason Jordan's Cracking the Sales Management Code does a phenomenal job of kind of unpacking this. And really what it is, we kind of have like the taxonomy of pipeline generation, pipeline advancement, pipeline hygiene, and then activity metrics, right? And so then there can be components of that. So like, okay, like what are the activities that a seller does? Okay, well, you know, if you sell SMB services, it's probably going to be very call heavy. Okay, cool. You probably instrument those calls, right? Like quantity of calling behavior. Cool. So that's an activity metric. You know, maybe that's for SDRs. It also might be for account executives too. Like if you're Rippling or Zenefits or Fourth, Hot Schedules, whatever, and the account executives are prospecting as well, they're also going to be very fund-based. So instrument that. If you're selling to security personnel or like technologists or finance or whatever, your activity metrics will probably look like email communication and scheduled meetings. Cool. So you instrument that, right? Then, okay, pipeline generation. Cool. So new opportunity zoned, right? Maybe it's opportunities going to SAO. pipeline advancement. So you probably have special stages like, okay, cool. If something gets to stage three, it's usually good, right? Okay. How much pipeline is getting to stage three per rep basis, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. Hygiene. Are we working our stuff well? Are things untouched and stuck or are they not? What's our frequency of touches on things? So you, essentially what you do is you're like, hey, these are the metrics that are going to be useful to measure these behaviors, right? Because Bill Walsh wrote this book called The Score Takes Care of Itself. So Bill Walsh, former coach of the San Francisco 49ers. And his big thing was that like, it's very difficult to directly impact the score with the Super Bowl coming up, right? Like it's very difficult to like look up at the scoreboard and be like, I'm going to do something right now that's going to impact the score. It's like, nah, not really. Because like the score is the outcome of a bunch of different behaviors. But what you can do is you can focus on doing the heck out of your role as the running back or the quarterback or the left guard or whatever. And so like you do that, you do the heck out of that and measure that. And then you measure the intermediaries, which are like might be how many yards are we getting per down? Are we getting first downs? Because if we get 4 yards per down, we will tautologically score a touchdown.
Yeah, to say you're doing better down the field.
You will. Yeah, exactly. So how about like, let's not focus on the score. Let's just get 4 yards every time. Because if we get 4 yards every time, hey, we'll like score, right? And so all of this can be brought back to any sort of knowledge worker behavior, whether we're talking about SDRs or account executives or CSMs or what have you, by instrumenting these waypoints. And the thing is that in office culture also created problems for this as well, because what would happen is managers are like, hey, I can get enough, right? I can measure performance, not really, by walking around. And it's like, yeah, actually, no, right? Now, you can hold accountable by walking around. You can encourage by walking around. Moreover, people can understand from each other what the behaviors are, but using that like management by walking around as a substitute for data-driven instrumentation, nah. And so like the ideal situation is you want both, right? Where you want esprit de corps and encouragement and accountability of low friction of communication, high porousness, which of course in-person does, but then measuring the inputs and intermediaries and outputs and then activities that underpin all of that is something that like, one, it's very important in an in-person environment, but it becomes like absolutely insanely important in a remote environment because like you don't even have the management by walking around behavior.
Exactly. Yeah. So if you are a RevOps person and you're looking to think more strategically than tactically, a lot of what you described are the things that you should think about putting in place for your sales managers.
In general, our belief is that organizations, and I think a lot of CROs are thinking about this right now, is a recommitment to high performance and high performance management, like having a performance management culture versus avoiding conversations around performance and avoiding measurement. So like, hey, we're going to commit to having high performance management and we're going to commit to having a culture of accountability and high performance. Okay, how do we do that? Oh, well, the way that we do that is through better management, better data-driven management around measuring and managing and improving performance using data. And the way that we do that is through better encouragement and better coaching and also like better accountability, right? And so how we do that is by like, you know, setting goals on these precursors, holding people accountable to that outcomes and inputs and activities. And then also just making sure that that's woven into the operating rhythm as well. And also provide it to the individual reps so they can manage it as well. Like, you know, I'm a big instrumented wearable for like, I have a Whoop and like, I don't really drink as much as I used to anymore because my Whoop just yells at me. If I have like 2 or 3 drinks, I sleep like awfulness. And the next day it's like, hi, you slept like awfulness. And it holds me accountable and says like, hey, whatever you did last night, maybe don't do that. Like maybe don't. And so like, it's holding me accountable. And then I change my behavior. And then lo and behold, 18 months later, I've lost 30 pounds. So like it works, measuring and managing and improving performance works if you are willing to measure it. And then also if you are willing to manage based on that, right? So the Whoop is not afraid to manage me and say like, hey man, you have 20% recovery because like your resting heart rate last night was awful and your heart rate variability last night was awful. What did you do? I went out with Donna. We had 3 tiki drinks. Right? Okay, cool. Busted. Hey, Bob, we're halfway through the month and you're only at 30% of your opportunity creation goal. Based on what we're seeing here, it also seems that you're pretty substantially behind your activity goals in the last like 10 days or so. What's going on? Let's get ahead of this before the month is over, right? Like, what's the deal? right? Versus, you know, waiting another 15 days with our head in the sand and like, oopsies, you didn't hit your opportunity creation goal. Oops. Oh, wow. Like the quarter flipped and like, wow, you missed your bookings number by 50%. Well, that's because 90 days ago, you hadn't advanced enough pipeline to stage three. Like if you don't advance the pipeline to stage three, it's not going to get to stage six, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, the dreaded every opportunities are set from the last day of the quarter. Big surprise. None of them closed. They all shift to the following day.
Yeah. Weird, right? Like, let's get ahead of this and not be surprised, right? There's no excuse.
Yeah. I know you're like deep in AI and you're doing some really cool things in Atrium. And this is really like blown up, I'd say, over the last 12 months. Like, where do you see us in 12 months from now with AI and RevOps and what's going on?
Yeah, I'm not sure where we'll go per se, but the thing that's like super awesome about revenue operations, and this is what I was kind of coaching my staff on earlier, is whatever shows up that can make the factory run smoother and more efficient and faster, RevOps will be there to see it.
Eat it up.
Yeah, or like test it. Hey, this sounds interesting. Let's give it a shot. This seems like an interesting hypothesis. Whoa, this like e-sign thing, like rather than like faxing contracts back and forth, we could like do this e-sign thing. Yeah, sure. Wait, sign digitally? That sounds like weird witchcraft. You can't do that. Is that legal? What the heck? Okay, we'll try it. We'll give it a try. Oh my gosh, contracts come back the same day as opposed to a week later. If I say I'm going to cancel this, my reps are going to riot and put my head on a pike. Okay, cool. I guess this works.
I can remember sales engagement, like Yesware. When Yesware first came out, there was a freemium version. All the reps were using it and they were coming to me on RevOps and be like, oh, we need to go buy Yesware. I need more credits. I'm like, what is Yesware? You know, and it was like really the first iteration of something that could automate emailing on the behalf of a sales rep.
Yeah, but sometimes there's misses, right? And I think that like, you know, maybe 7 years ago, something like ABM is an example of this, where it's just like, hey, this sounds like a really cool thing where we can target our key accounts and then run plays against them that are both like outbound email, then also ads, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, actually, let's go ahead and buy Terminus. Let's go ahead and buy this. Let's go ahead and buy that. Oh, wow. It turns out that like this is a ton of work and like nobody's actually very good at it. And then we churn on it and maybe we like take a pause. And then 6 years later, they figure out that actually when you add intent data to this and operationalize intent in a more meaningful way, and then be able to do like revenue orchestration off of those signals and what have you. Okay, now is the time where this works.
Somebody comes in too early, matures, and then comes back.
Yeah, but like RevOps are the product managers and like the scientists of the sales organization. And what they're doing is they're forming hypotheses and they're saying, hey, did that work? Okay, it didn't work. Well, it was worth a shot. No one's going to get roasted for it, because when the bets do pay off, right, sales engagement or conversation intelligence or e-sign or what have you, we hope that sales performance management or high performance sales management software, like that's what we call Atrium. So like software that's dedicated for managing and improving the performance of reps, that is something that should be a must have for organizations versus trying to get that job done with like, you know, walls of Looker tiles or walls of Tableau dashboards. And I know there becomes like embedded in the stack and it becomes a must have. And then there's a whole different thing, which is like, okay, which of these XYZ, like which conversation intelligence vendor are you going to use? Not are you going to record your calls? And that's what RevOps will do. So like whatever shows up in the next 12 or 24 months, like that's what RevOps will do, because like they're responsible for making the business run smoother and faster and just making it such that like a rep, instead of being able to do $500,000 in bookings, that rep can do 600 or they can do 700 or whatever.
No, it's true. I'm looking forward to it. You know me, I love whatever's new out there. I'm always taking a look at it, trying to figure out how to plug it in, how to make it work. Is it going to move the needle? Will people adopt it? And if they do, it's usually like an exponential change and it's an amazing thing.
Yep, exactly. Lead routing. What if we could just send these things to the individuals rather than it going to like Susie in Des Moines, right? Or like we have one inbound SDR that's like managing all these things. And so their speed to lead is 3 hours. No, doesn't sound ideal. Sounds like we need some lead routing.
Awesome. Well, hey, if someone is interested, I always talk about Modern Sales Pros. I know there's a lot of other organizations out there. If they're interested in joining, I know it's very restricted. You can only get into it if you are a RevOps professional, but is it modernsalespros.com?
Yeah. I mean, you just Google Modern Sales, right? Modern Sales Pros. It's the top Google result, people can apply. It's sales operations and sales leadership. You know, it's the yin and the yang of a successful modern sales organization is a thoughtful, analytical sales leader and their partner in crime, the revenue operations leader, right? You know about that, Don.
No, it's very true. Awesome. Well, Pete, thank you so much for joining me today. It was great having you on the podcast where I was on yours so long ago. I think it was like 4 years ago. I really appreciate it. It was great to have you. And I look forward to seeing you at the next Modern Sales Pros event.
Totally, Don. Thanks for having me. And hey, everybody, thanks for hanging out. Find me on LinkedIn. Find me on Twitter, okay?
There you go.
The OpStars podcast is brought to you by Lean Data. To find out more about us and our suite of Salesforce native products for marketing, sales, and revenue operations, head to leandata.com and then make sure to search for OpStars in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, or anywhere else that podcasts are found. Make sure to click subscribe so you don't miss on any future episodes. On behalf of the team here at OpStars and Lean Data, thanks for listening.